Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. We thank you for tuning in and listening this week. Today, we have a very exciting show prepared for you with a couple of great guests. We are going to start off the conversation talking a little bit about business and fashion once again, and also brand building. You know, these days, brand building is so important because all of us, whether we like it or not, are really a personal brand walking around when we're on the street, when we're meeting people in business, and just when we're out in public. People see us and they start to form an opinion about us based off the way we look right from the start. And then when we open our mouths, they make other different assumptions about us. And as you get to know someone, that perception is still ever evolving and ever changing. So we want to talk about how you can develop this personal brand, but also if you have a physical brand that you're promoting, a product or a service, how you can put your best foot forward to make your brand seem the most professional and high impact that it possibly can be. The last thing that you want as a brand is to have your brand look very low budget, unprofessional, or like it's something that's just thrown together. So hopefully we are going to give you some tips on how you can avoid that. And we're going to incorporate some of the things that we are learning by watching other successful entrepreneurs, such as, in this case, Ice Cube, who has developed the Big Three Basketball League. We'll see how that can apply to a personal brand or your own brand in business and getting that off the ground. Also, we will be talking about fashion. We have not forgot about fashion. Nathan, the suburban gent, drops by once again and talks to us about different ways that suits are made. There's a difference between a good high quality suit and an average suit, and then there's also suits that all of us gentlemen need to stay away from. There's a lot of different cues that can tell you what is what, which ones you need to watch out for, and sometimes you'll be surprised that it's not the name brands that you think that are the highest quality. Sure, they might have the money for advertising to make you think or perceive that they are the highest quality, but are they really? The Suburban Gent will answer that question and tell you how you can get the most bang for your buck. Last but not least, we'd like to say that if you'd like a free copy of the book, The Life of a Gentleman, please visit the website www.thelifeofagent.com. On the homepage, there is a big button there that you can push and get yourself a copy of the book that really sparked this movement and started this podcast. As I mentioned at the outset, I'm Richard Taylor, your host. If you'd like to connect with me to personally take your brand to the next level, I'm more than happy to work with you on a one-on-one basis as a coach or a consultant. Also, thelifeofagent.com, drop me a line there. Enough about that. Let's get ready to dive into the show. As we always say, we talk about fashion, lifestyle, business, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of fun along the way. Let's get started. Hello, gentlemen. Richard here from Harrison Blake Apparel, and I would like to give you a special offer. What we would like to present to you is a coupon code SEASON, S-E-A-S-O-N. That will give you $15 off your first monthly box from Harrison Blake Apparel. If you don't know what Harrison Blake Apparel offers in their monthly package, listen up. It's one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for the low price of $25 per month, which includes shipping. That's right, shipping is absolutely free. So get one necktie plus four matching accessories for only $25 a month. But use the code SEASON, S-E-A-S-O-N, and get your first month with $15 off. Thanks for listening to The Life of a Gentleman. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Life of a Gentleman. As always, we are talking about fashion, business, lifestyle. A lot of the times, we like to try to blend them all together. So today, we'll have a little fun talking more about believing in yourself, starting your own business, the benefits of it, and Should you or should you not sell out if you get an offer for somebody to buy out your business? So let's get started by welcoming to the show, Darius. How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. It's nice to talk again. It's always good to catch up.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, definitely. The feedback's really been great. So I think our discussions have been timely. We've tried to cover some topics that hopefully will help to inspire people, think about starting their own business or to get up and be motivated to do something positive with their lives. Hey, today I thought we could talk about Ice Cube and his league that he started. I'll let you kind of introduce to the audience what this is if they're not familiar with it.
Well, what it is some NBA players had retired, and Ice Cube took the opportunity to start a three-on-three tournament with these guys as a business. So it's been working out for them so far.
Yeah, this is something that really hasn't been done before. It's an original league, like you said. It's three-on-three. They have some cool features. There's a four-point shot in it. And yeah, it's made up of ex-NBA players, those that are retired, you know, guys in their 30s, early 40s. They can still ball, you know. There's some big names in there. Who really excites you? What names stick out to you that you want to see on the court?
It was interesting to me to see Kwame Brown, because he was a number one draft pick, you know, and to see him back on the court again. And then what excited me the most was some of the really old school players, like Dr. J coaching. That was very interesting to me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The funny thing about it is when Ice Cube first announced this, people kind of thought it was a joke. They kind of laughed like, you know, big three, what is this? But as he started adding people, you know, some of the big names, Allen Iverson, Jason Williams, like you said, Kwame Brown, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. There's a lot of great players that are on the court and, like you said, on the sidelines coaching. Rick Mahorn is coaching. Like you said, Dr.
Gary Payton.
Yeah, Gary Payton, the glove. I mean, you got a lot of star power, and that kind of really bolstered the league. But here's the thing about it to me. It looks so professional and polished right out the gate. I had to really tip my hat to Cube for that one.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree. He had his steps all put together before he did this. You can absolutely tell.
Yeah, and then once the presentation was great, then the sponsorships rolled in. So let's stop and think about this for a second. All of us might be starting a business at some point, or just yourself as a personal brand. Think about this. You have to put a great presentation forward to the world so that you or your business can be taken seriously. So, what are your takeaways from that, Darius?
Like what we talked about before, staying organized and making sure that you have all your ducks in a row and being very professional so that your business, like you said, can be taken seriously.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is it was taken so seriously. At first, you know, the league was just going to tour around the country in select cities and play in NBA arenas, but Fox Sports took a liking to this idea, and now it became televised. Once he procured rights to television, now you're talking big money. You have sponsorships, commercial deals, the works. I mean, this is on national TV. So, with that being said, that then legitimized his business. Now, as a personal brand or a small business yourself, don't you feel that there's certain things you can do to legitimize your own business?
Absolutely. The first step is making sure you have your business license completed, your insurance is together, and everyone around knows that this is a legit business that has all their ducks in a row.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, you know, just to recap, we first talked about, you know, step one, get yourself organized and have a polished presentation. Step two, make sure everything is legal. If you need to form an LLC or a corporation, go ahead and do that. You can even use a service like LegalZoom to get that kind of stuff done. It doesn't have to cost, you know, thousands of dollars. It's only going to cost a couple hundred bucks to get things done to be legitimate. Thirdly, here comes investors. A lot of times you have the opportunity for people to like what you're doing and invest in you. This is the point where the ball is in your court and you have to make a decision. Do you accept the investor money? Because if you do, and probably we've all watched Shark Tank, and when the investor gives you money, what happens, Darius?
You better make sure you can pay him back.
Yeah, and they also take a percentage of the company.
Right.
So now you're quote-unquote in bed with someone else, and they hold a lot of the cards because they've given you capital to catapult your business. And so the reason I want to bring that up is because there's been rumors that the NBA has taken an interest in what Ice Cube has done. And listen, it's only been a few weeks of actual gameplay, and they're already talking about purchasing this Big Three League from Ice Cube. Now, I don't know what the numbers are, but I want to get your take. Obviously, this thing has legs. Would you or would you not sell if your name was Ice Cube?
Me personally, I would not sell. I would hold, because obviously you have a product here that could be huge. And if he's already put the time and effort into it, I would hold on, because if the NBA is already interested, that tells you something. He has something here and he needs to hold. I would not sell.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't even partner at this point. I'd make them sweat it out a little bit more, because obviously they've seen what he's done. They like what he's doing. And I had a chance to watch it myself, and me and you were texting back and forth as we watched some of the games. You know, the gameplay was a little better than I expected. And, you know, growing up playing basketball, you know, primarily on a half court, you know, one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, it kind of brought back a lot of memories. You know, you had to take it back to the three-point line, check the ball out, and, you know, if there's a turnover, you can go straight up with it. I thought it was kind of action-packed, really competitive. The guys were giving it their all. It wasn't just like an exhibition game where they're out there just having fun and giving each other high fives.
No, I absolutely agree. And you could tell it got even more competitive as the games went on. And it did bring back memories, because most kids relate to that three-on-three play, not the five-on-five play. And like you said, the competitiveness was right on point. So they did a very good job of bringing that.
Yeah, I agree. And also, another thing that impressed me was the skill level. Man, a lot of those guys could still light it up. They were shooting from way out, and I didn't see anybody really knock down those four-pointers, not too much. But that was kind of fun, too, but just to see some of the outside sharpshooting on display, man, that was great.
It was good to see if their skills were still there, and it was exciting to see all those shots go in again, and it was just fun. It was absolutely fun to watch.
Yeah, did you happen to catch the attendance? I mean, that's what blew me away.
Yeah, like I was expecting to see kind of a scattered crowd, to be honest with you, a couple empty chairs, but it was pretty packed. It's definitely drawn the interest of a good audience. And the other thing I was impressed with was the way they drew you into the game. You got to be in the huddle. You got to feel like you were right there with the players, and that was very impressive.
Yeah, the one I saw, they were at the Barclays Center, and I believe the announced attendance was over 15,000 people. And let me tell you, that's a great turnout, because I went to a few Pistons games this year, and the attendance was not even anywhere close to that for a regular season NBA game. So with that being said, when you have a business that's doing good, or you are a life coach, a business coach, a consultant, or just a personal brand, and you are moving up within, you know, your employer or a company, you don't want to stop this momentum. So how do you keep this going?
If I were him, I would just keep the marketing going and keep doing what he's doing, because obviously he's doing something right, and just build on it, right? He has the foundation. Just keep building on it. And the competition, as you mentioned, they're doing a good job with the outside shooting and all that, but now it's up to the players. They have to continue to play harder and more competitive, and then the fans will come.
Yeah, you know, just using this as a case study for life, I thought would be good, because a lot of people, like we talk about on this show, want to start a fashion brand, or they want to start some sort of side business. And if they follow these steps the way that Ice Cube did, I think they can have a lot of success. You know, we started off talking about how you have to be organized and have a real polished appearance, and then legitimize your business, and then decide whether or not you want to take on investors. And then lastly, what we just said was that you have to maintain it and build on the momentum. Sometimes in personal life, you know, you're on the job, let's say you're working a 9-to-5, the first thing you want to do is get your foot in the door. But once you have your foot in the door, sometimes people start to kind of slack off. You know, have you ever seen that? They don't keep the momentum.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's almost like they're happy just to be there.
Yeah, and you really can't do that, can you?
Absolutely not. You have to continue going and going and push harder than you did before, because you have to remember, you have to live up to the standards that you gave yourself and beyond.
Yeah, what I was thinking about is the personal appearance part of it. When you work in an office environment, there's a certain dress code, and a lot of times it's business casual. But what you start to see as people become more comfortable, they start to come in and Dockers and khakis that are kind of wrinkled and worn out along the back of their pants. The edge is scraping across the floor and getting frayed, and their shirts aren't pressed anymore. They're kind of wrinkled, and some people look like they just rolled out of bed. Have you ever come across people like that?
Oh, absolutely. That's a very good point. It's almost like they're just satisfied with what they got. You cannot do that.
Yeah, and you know what's sad? It's those people right there that are not going to go to the next level. You know, simply could be based off the appearance that they put forward.
Like I mentioned before, maybe not said it right, but you can't just be happy to be there. Like Ice Cube, he's been successful before. He could have just stopped and said, hey, I've been successful before. I'm good to go. But he kept pressing and pressing on to start better stuff and more stuff. So that's what, as gentlemen, we have to do, is keep pressing on.
Yeah, and to that point too, a little bit about the office workers is there's a point in time where upper management is looking to promote someone, and they have a choice between two candidates. Most of the time, they're going to go with somebody who looks more polished. So I know people say don't judge a book by its cover, but in business and on the job and really in life, people do sadly just judge you based on how you look. Just like we judge the big three based off of how it was presented to us. You know, my brother, you know my brother. You know, me and him were talking about it. He was a doubter of the league. He thought it was going to be a joke. He thought it was a circus. And I told him, the way that it's being presented looks super professional. People have to take it serious, and they have.
Absolutely. And to your point, the other point I'll make about dressing for work or anywhere else is you never know who's watching you.
That's a real good point. Just like Ice Cube didn't know the NBA would be watching him, but look what's happening now. He might have the opportunity to really cash in beyond his wildest dreams. I know the guy's been successful. It's funny, I was watching it and my kids came into the room and they saw Ice Cube there and they said, you know, what's he doing there? You know, they didn't understand that he created the league, and I always try to tell them about ownership. And so I explained to them, you know, he started this. This is his idea. He came up with the whole thing. This is his league. And they were blown away because, you know, they just know him from movies and things like that. And so they put two and two together. I think even the little kids, they had a newfound respect for somebody coming up with a cool concept and idea and really seeing it through. And it's the same thing we can do, you know, in our personal lives, starting a business or just on the job, seeing it through, like you said, taking those steps, going all the way with it.
And we talked about before, but it's just staying consistent, putting forth that energy, just like he did, and just seeing it through to completion.
And it looks like in the end, it's going to pay off very big. So I think that's a good lesson for all of us. And I had a lot of fun talking about it. And I'm looking forward to next weekend when I can catch some more of the big three action. And hopefully everybody else gets a chance to check it out too.
Yes, sir. I know I'll be watching.
All right, man. Maybe we can get out on the court this summer. I know we're going to meet up.
Hey, get a couple of your fans. I'll get a couple of mine. Let's see what happens.
I'll bring the ice packs. Talk to you later, bro.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive one necktie plus four additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Gentleman's Look, a segment where we talk about fashion and taking your style to the next level. And today we are joined once again by the Suburban Gent. He's agreed to come back on, and we're so thankful. Nicholas, how's it going today?
Hey, man, doing good. You know, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, you know, last time, we learned so much information when we talked about the construction of our suits. So we thought we'd have you come back on and talk a little bit more about suits, because that's what everybody aspires to do, is to look great in a suit and feel confident wearing a suit. So what do you have in mind today?
Today, what I want to touch base on, or what I want to talk to you guys about, is the different ways on how suits are made, or instead of that, I guess it would be a better way to say how the different ways that everyone buys a suit.
Okay, perfect, because yeah, there are some options out there, and I guess it would kind of depend on your budget and other things like that. So, hey, let's just dive into it. Go ahead and break this down for us. What are our options, first off?
So the different ways that you can buy a suit is off the rack, made to order, made to measure, bespoke, and true bespoke. Generally, these are the absolute most common ways that suits are bought.
All right. Well, I think the most common way for the average guy, so to speak, would be the off-the-rack suit. So let's dive into that. Well, can you define that exactly for us and what that means?
Sure. So off-the-rack pretty much is what's in the name, off-the-rack. You know, you go into a department store or even when you go into a boutique and literally right on the rack there's a suit. And they say, hey, what's your size? I'm a 40 regular. Great. And they grab you that 40 regular. Now, off-the-rack suits are made for the general population of that buyer. So they'll take the average, you know, sizes of guys that actually buy those suits. A lot of times what they do is based off of statistics and they make a general pattern. And by pattern, I mean size and measurement to make a suit off the rack and hopes that it generally fits the general man of America or wherever the suit is being sold. So sometimes it can be a little off in measurements and stuff like that, but that's when you have to tweak it a little bit. But that's generally what off the rack actually is.
All right, perfect. I think everybody's familiar with that. We've all been to a department store, see the racks and racks of suits, and you just sift through, like you said, find your size. Now, how about made to order? What is that exactly?
Made to order is something that people get confused with a lot with made to measure. So what made to order is, it's like it goes in steps. And so made to order essentially is, say I got a, so usually suits are made with a 7-inch drop. If you're a 40 regular, that suit pant is going to be a 33 waist, generally. If not, it's a 6-inch drop. So when you buy a 40 regular, it's going to be a 34 waist. Now, when it comes to sometimes, for example, I help out a couple hockey players here in Nashville, and, you know, they got big shoulders, but they have super small waists. And if you try going off the rack, it just won't work. Essentially, they don't really want to go into make to measure, because sometimes it could be a little surprising for some guys. But what it allows you to do is, it's not really customizing any measurements, but it'll take the general 40 regular, say, from Canali. It'll take the general 40 regular from Canali, and we know he's not going to fit in a 34 pant, so we have to get him a 30 pant because that's how big the drop is. And so we can order the 30 pant in that fabric. But the thing is with made to order is that you can't go in and say, oh, okay, I want to tweak the leg and I want to make it skinnier. That's not how that works. What made to order is simply is just ordering a fabric and ordering the general measure of a suit that that company has for that suit.
Ooh, yeah, the way you broke that down, that makes perfect sense. I can see how it's a bit better than off the rack because, yeah, if you have those body proportions that way, it will be very difficult. But you said if you want to take it up just another level, you might have to do the made to measure. Now, what does that entail? That sounds like it's a little bit more time consuming, perhaps.
Yeah, it's a little bit more time consuming. So what it is so, like, you know, back in made to order, what it is, it gives you the option to choose between a bunch of fabrics, but you can't tweak any of the measurements. And made to measure, on the other hand, is where you get to pick from a bunch of fabrics, you get to pick from a bunch of lines, you get to pick from a bunch of buttons. You can decide if you want that suit to be a single-breasted, double-breasted, Mandarin style, peak lapel, shawl lapel, knot lapel, all these different things. You can change the style a lot with it. It's crazy. And so with that, what we do is, so there's two ways you would get measured for made to measure. So say if you're getting a suit in, again, I'll use Canali as an example, in Canali. We'll take a Canali off the rack suit and we'll put it on the customer. And what we'll do is we'll tweak that suit measurements to his measurements. So if we put the shoulders on him and say he's a 40 regular, but he probably looks like he's a 39. And I can see that when I put it on him. I'm going to write down in the form minus 1 inch in the shoulders, point to point. And so now when that suit comes in, it's not going to be the general Canali 40 regular. It's going to be a 39. And so made to measure, it allows you to tweak some of those things. It can make you slim out the leg even more. You know, the big alterations that most tailor shops don't offer because a lot of times they mess them up or they just don't have the machinery to do it. So make the measure allows you to do those big measurements, but it also allows you to really change the style of the suit. You can really change it up, like I said, with the whole double-breasted, single-breasted, pico-tel, all those things. And so it also allows you to kind of dive your feet into those things as well.
Man, you know, I think I've had a conversation with a lot of friends over the years, and the way you described that, we were thinking that was more of a bespoke suit. So let's clear up some confusion. What would be bespoke then? If that was made to measure, it seems like bespoke even is a little bit more detailed.
bespoke is actually something people have been getting really, really mixed up with. People have been getting bespoke really mixed up, and this is why there's bespoke, and then there's also true bespoke. And true bespoke wasn't really something that had to be said like that. In the past, bespoke was just bespoke, and so the bespoke process is completely done by hand. You have one tailor. So, for example, say if I'm the tailor, I take your measurements. I take all of your measurements. And the same thing with, like, the made-to-measure process where you get to pick out the fabric, you can, you know, I want a peak lapel, you can pick out all the styles you want, linings, anything. But the thing is, with bespoke, the fact that I'm the one cutting it completely by hand, I'm doing everything completely by hand. That means if you want that lapel to be a little bit bigger, I can make it bigger. If you want a really, like, odd pocket that most machines don't have a general machine to make that pocket, I can do that because I'm the one creating this garment by hand and I'm doing everything myself. So that is what bespoke is, or I guess I would say that's what true bespoke is now. What people use bespoke now, so like we talked in our last segment before about how important marketing is and what an impact it has, bespoke now, people have been using bespoke to kind of sell it to be more fancier, be nicer. You know, it sounds better. Hickey Freeman, for example, has a bespoke process, but what people use bespoke now for is the fact that that garment is just done by hand. So you could get a made-to-measure, but it could be a bespoke made-to-measure because the garment's done by hand. Now, it's not done the same way a true bespoke is, where one person is doing the whole entire fitting and cutting, and it's completely custom, where the bespoke made-to-measure is where just simply that, instead of that garment being done 50% by hand, 50% by machine, it's just completely done by hand. But true bespoke is definitely a longer process. It's about 3 to 4 fittings just to get it right. But the thing is, this true bespoke suit always fits no matter what.
Yeah, I imagine it would fit like a glove. That sounds perfect. You know, just a quick little story. I worked in the garment industry, and we had Gerber cutting machines that would cut out the fabric patterns. And like you said, that's more for off the rack type stuff. And those garments, you know, sometimes on a skinnier guy, you know, or your body type, it could be loose, or if you have real big shoulders, then sometimes it could be tight. But the interesting thing, like you said, when somebody's making it by hand, we also had people that would sew by hand. And usually that was for the prototypes. And those people were the real highly skilled people that were allowed to touch the fabric and to really create the garment. And then from there, it went to, you know, the Gerber cutting machines. It was more cookie cutter. So I can see why you'd have to pay more for somebody, because it's true craftsmanship, isn't it?
Definitely true craftsmanship. It is actually. So talking with a bunch of tailors in my past, I've come across some of the best tailors I've ever met. About 100% of the tailors have all agreed with the question when I ask, or when I say, is making a suit the hardest thing for a tailor to learn how to do? And they all say yes. It is absolutely the hardest thing for any tailor to learn how to master, because there's so many steps and processes that go with making that suit, especially if you're doing it completely by hand. It is very difficult.
Yeah, it sounds like a real challenge. But the question I'm wondering is, let's say I want to have at least one bespoke suit in my arsenal, if you will. Where would I go to get this done? I'm in middle America. I'm not in New York City or LA or something like that. Where could I go and have this done?
It's definitely scarce. It's not an art that is particularly appreciated as much as it used to be. It's not a big market selling point, because a lot of guys don't have the patience to want to go through 3 or 4 fittings, and guys don't really generally now don't really appreciate the fit or even like the quality of a bespoke marker. And so with that being said, I mean, markers know that, you know, try to market it as much, and they see it not as a high buy, which it really isn't. And so yes, there are a couple bespoke tailors in New York. Duffy, he won the Golden Shears on Savile Row, so he does bespoke as well. I only know one bespoke tailor here in Nashville, surprisingly, and his name is Eric Adler. Great bespoke tailor. Personally, for me, if I had to go anywhere to get a bespoke garment, it's going to be Savile Row, London. If I'm going to get bespoke, if I'm going to get the best suit ever made, it's going to be the best place. Huntsman, Savile Row, Henry Poole, these places are the champions of bespoke. They really know how to make a good garment. And so, if anything, that would be the place I would go. And for price point, too, you're looking at around $6,000+ to start off just for one bespoke garment.
Wow. I think that got a lot of people's attention when you said $6,000. So really, when you're looking at that, this is an investment, isn't it?
It is. It's, you know what? It can't be an investment. I think the only guys now that get to spoke are the guys that really are just like, you know what? I can afford it, and I want the best of the best, but that's that. Other than that, I mean, I don't know too many guys that get their first suit to be bespoke, or when they get a bespoke, they're like, oh, I'm going to wear this every day. You could, but some guys don't want to.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it sounds like it's something to aspire to. And should guys feel bad hearing this information? Because a lot of our listeners, you know, they're just throwing in the towel right now. Like, I can't afford $6,000. Forget this. I mean, so let us know. I mean, is it reasonable that we can still get a good quality suit, even if it's not bespoke from Seville Row?
Oh, of course. Made to measure has come such a long way. Made to measure right now, I believe, personally, my opinion is I believe made to measure will one day replace off the rack suit. It's a new way to really buy suits now. It's come a long way, I'll be honest with you. Zenya, their suits and with the quality tailors they have can almost fit like a bespoke suit from the feedback I've heard from the people that work there and from the customers that shop there. So yes, if you can get into a made-to-measure garment, you're more than halfway there. But for the most part, made-to-measure can be an absolute amazing garment for you. And I think that, of course, you don't have to spend $6,000. I mean, I'm not blowing away $6,000 on a suit. I don't think not everyone can. You can definitely get a great quality garment suit for around $1,000, maybe even $800, too, for made-to-measure.
Oh, I think everybody's smiling again. That makes me feel a little bit better. If we want more information like this, can you let us know your website and how we can get in touch with you?
Yeah. My website, my blog is thesuburbanjet.com. You can follow me on Instagram as well, at thesuburbanjet, just to stay updated on what I do post, or you can sign up to my newsletter on my website, thesuburbanjet.com.
All right. Thanks so much, Nicholas. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up this episode of the Life of a Gentleman podcast, and we thank you so much for tuning in and listening. We sincerely appreciate all the feedback that we've been getting. So at this time, we'd like to ask, if you haven't given us any feedback, please do so. It's easy to do, only takes a minute of your time. You can rate, review, and even subscribe to the podcast for absolutely free. The reason we ask for you to review the podcast is because it helps us talking about fashion. We have not forgot about fashion. Nathan, the Suburban Gent, drops by information. I really think others would benefit from it, and if you're enjoying it, we just want you to pass that on. Also, we want to send a special thank you to you for just taking the time out of your schedule to listen to the show. We really appreciate that. Also, thanks to Nicholas, the Suburban Gent, for coming on. Thanks to Darius for being a part of the show once more. And a big shout out to our producer, DeAndre Marie. She does an awesome job of arranging the show for us and getting everything taken care of behind the scenes. It's a group effort on the Life of a Gentleman, and it's really a group effort that we're trying to have as we push forward this movement of guys stepping out of their shell and truly becoming gentlemen, being the best you that you possibly can be this year and beyond. So from all of us at the Life of a Gentleman, thank you for listening, and until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus 4 additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndre Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.